The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, August the 27th, 2017, broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB, 1240 AM and 95.9 FM here in lovely West Babylon, New York. Gary Harding and John Panarese taking you on the first hour of Sports Talk 1240 tonight. And John, it's one of those weird times, you know. We're getting to the end of the summer. Can you believe it's summer?
No,
it's over already.
I can't believe it.
September 1st is Friday.
Yeah.
It's strange. I guess with all the garbage that's going on as a New York sports fan these days.
Garbage is the best. Well,
if you're a Yankee fan, you're happy because you're in a playoffs there. You're in the playoffs right now. You're the number one wild card. Things are okay. You know, you wish you were better. You wish the Red Sox were behind you instead of in front of you. But you know what? For all things that have gone, and we talked about this in the car ride coming here, you know, John and I are definitely not, members number one and two in the Yankee fan club. But I gotta say, you know, the way that Cashman has rolled this team up and the way these guys are responding and they're bringing a lot of their kids in, you kind of like that. You know, you kind of like that direction.
It's different because this was a team that was known for many years for basically, you know, signing free agents. And, you know, it was all about the payroll and the name of the, you know, on the back of the jersey. Well,
they don't have names
in the back of the jersey.
Except this weekend they did?
Yeah.
Well, it may not have been their names. It was nicknames. But here, okay, I teased you in the car. So here's the question. You're a New York Met. It's this weekend. It's the chance to put a nickname, a something on the back of your jersey. Okay? We'll give you number 91 since you wear that Tavares jersey all the time in the Islanders. But you're number 91 of the Mets. What's going to be the nickname on the back of your jersey this weekend?
Loser.
Loser.
How about Bad Mojo?
Bad Mojo. Okay, I was hoping for something a little bit better, but okay, we'll take that. Actually, I think in the show, the PlayStation game that I'm playing right now, I think they have that. When I'm looking forward to that in July because I'm going to put G-Man on the back of mine. That's going to be my thing. So, we are 2 weeks away from NHL training camp. We are 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL football season. We are about 6 weeks away from the start of NBA training camp. So obviously this is the time of year where all four sports are starting to be a play. And of course you got the college football season that started. Some games started last weekend, you know, the typical, you know, 72-7 games and things like that. Stanford, I think, beat Rice like 76-7 or some ridiculous score like that. So, you know, the good teams are playing all the dregs and stuff until like the middle of October when they finally start playing meaningful stuff. So you got all that going on. You know, me as a British soccer fan, you know, the Premier League has started already. And, you know, so it's a great time of year, but you know, especially when your baseball team is not even firing on a half of a cylinder, let alone getting
the AAA team we have playing in Citi Field right now.
Yeah, the New York 51s.
Yeah,
is that what you were saying before? You know, I mean, how unfortunately does a guy swing a bat and rip his shoulder apart, and they said he can do this again and again and again for the rest of his career? It's not the thing you want to hear.
How does that happen?
Well, that's why we're in the IT field and we didn't go into medicine, John.
Yeah.
It just totally blows my mind. I mean, you know, so that happens. And then obviously Cespedes the next day, you know, with his nagging legs.
Whomever has cursed this team has put a curse on it. Please, you can remove it now. It's not funny. It's gone from the ridiculous beyond the sublime at this stage.
I really think that George Steinbrenner is doing something from under the grave.
He's got to be, because just the series of events to this team, you can't even blame the training staff at this point.
No, you can't blame the training staff, but you can obviously, again, the methods that obviously Noah Syndergaard did, the things that Cespedes did, they've already been told you're not pulling that stuff off this off season. You know, you're not playing that, who can leg press 900 pounds and, you know, who can do all this stuff, because you know what? That's unhealthy for an average person. You know, you're going to do that if you're going to be bodybuilding and all that stuff, but
right,
you know,
not a baseball player
that has to be nimble and has to be able to, you know, sprint and do these types of things. You know, you're not going to be able to trust Cespedes to run anymore. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, remember when Dr. Brooks was on and he was talking about that, about how tight Cespedes is, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, and he kind of predicted that he'd keep having trouble with the, you know, with the quads and the hammies, and he was absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, the Mets did win the first game of their doubleheader against the Washington Nationals today, 6-5, in a very bizarre finish, if you will. The Mets had a 5-0 lead, 2 home runs, one by Wilmer Flores and one by
Cabrera,
right? Right, it was first three batters, 2 on and a home run. But then obviously, Washington tied it up got close, got the 6-5. And then, in the bottom of the ninth, ball got to the outfield. Lagares didn't play it right. Right fielder came in, perfect throw to Cabrera. Cabrera throws to Travis d'Arnaud, who tags Edwin Jackson sliding into home plate. Right as the last out of the game, and of course, you know, Dusty Baker goes, oh, he blocked the plate. Well, guess what, folks? He didn't block the plate. Right. Finally, you know, the Mets get a break. And of course, who hit the ball? Daniel Murphy.
Who else?
Who else would? Everything goes roses with him, you know, and I really wonder if Gary Thorne ever takes back what he said about him being a Met negative.
Yeah.
If you remember that in 2015, mm-hmm. you know. So obviously game number 2 with the Mets and the Nationals is tonight. Seth Lugo was brought from the DL. Surprise, they got somebody off.
Wow.
So he's pitching tonight in the second game. They just started. And obviously talking about the Yankees, and John didn't know this in the car ride, I had to tell him that the Seattle Mariners did something today that no team has done in the past 40 years.
Sorry to all my Seattle fans, because I do work with the state of Washington, and they were talking about this series. So
it's a very important series because they're obviously in a wild card battle. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's 6 or 7 teams in striking distance. But in the first inning, the Seattle Mariners committed not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5. Count them, 5 errors in the first inning of play. I don't know. I haven't seen the box score yet to find out who specifically did that. But you go back to 1997, according to the Elias Stats Bureau, when the Chicago Cubs, I think it's Manny Trio, Ivan DeJesus at short.
Ivan DeJesus.
I believe that was the team that committed 5 errors in the first. And I'm not sure if it was the first inning, but 5 errors in an inning. In a game.
I think there was a lot of Rolaids being taken in the Seattle dugout after that.
Yeah. I'm sure Davey Johnson would have gave him plenty.
Yeah.
So, obviously, with that win, the Yankees are now 2.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox with a hold of the wild card at this point in time. So, things are looking good for the Yankees. They're 3.5 up on the LA Angels, who are sitting in the third spot. Minnesota, again, a team that lost 100 games last year, I think.
Yeah.
And they're battling for the wild card. They're having a great season. Again, with the loss, Seattle drops a game and a half out. But you're talking, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams either have the wild card or are within 3 games of it.
It's going to be an interesting run. You know, you still got a good 30, 35 games left in the season.
Exactly. So. 130, right. Each team is between 100 and 132. So 30 games left. You know, and we've obviously, you know, in our past, we've seen what happens in September. You know, as Met fans, we know from worst to first and in 30 days, right. You know, anything can happen. So in the National League, it looks like it's a 2-horse race. But again, Arizona and Colorado have come back out to earth a little bit. So Milwaukee is 3.5 out. Miami, who's been going like crazy, thanks to one Giancarlo Stanton, who hit his 50th home run tonight.
50 home runs.
He's got a good shot for 60.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's another. Obviously, him and Aaron Judge are just incredible specimens. I mean, they're just, you know, they're Adonises, you know. I mean, and he puts, to both of them, they put so little effort, I should say, into their swings. I mean, he's just, you know, it's just fun watching them play, you know. And, you know, these guys are doing it the right way.
Right.
They're doing it the clean way. They're doing it, you know, just by working out and taking care of themselves and doing everything the way it should be. But, you know, I would say it's going to be pretty difficult for anybody to obviously challenge for those two wild card spots. And then you get the Los Angeles Dodgers, 91-37. I mean, they're on pace for 114 wins. You know, and what do? You know, when you're a team like that, you've got very little trouble and you acquire players. I mean, they went and got another starter. They get Curtis Granderson. He hits a grand slam a week later. I mean, come on. I mean, what is, you know.
The only thing that always strikes me, you know, when you are that good during the regular season in any sport, when you hit the playoffs, you got to switch gears, you know, and that's the one thing. Are the Dodgers going to be able to do it in the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, again, they said the same things when the Yankees had that 116-win season.
Right.
And they did just that. They went into a different area code and did the job. Obviously, the big story last week with the Dodgers is a guy by the name of Rich Hill, who 4 years ago was in Central Islip pitching for the Long Island Ducks, goes out and pitches a perfect game through eight innings against the Pittsburgh Pirates in Pittsburgh. First batter in the ninth inning gets on an error. You know, and Hill almost consoled. I can't remember who it was, the third baseman of the Dodgers at the time that made the play. It wasn't Justin Turner. It was somebody else. So he gets a no-hitter through nine. Unfortunately, you know, top of the 10th comes.
Yeah, walk, yeah.
Believe it or not, nine innings, no hits. He only had 92 pitches. So they put him out for the 10th. And what happens? He gives up a home run to Josh Harrison.
Yep.
The Pirates win in 10, 1-0. And unbelievably, you know, class act goes out and says, it's my fault. How can you say it's your fault when you threw one bad pitch the entire game?
Right.
You know,
you got to look on the other side of the coin. They didn't score any runs for me.
Exactly.
He took it upon himself.
A team like the Dodgers that's been averaging almost 5.5 runs
right.
a game, and they do nothing against a struggling Pittsburgh team. You know, but you just look at that Dodger lineup and in and out. And remember, 3 years ago, their third baseman, leading the league in National League in hitting, did he play in Flushing?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, another ex-Met that's
flourishing outside.
Flourishing outside, and that's
what did you read the article in Newsday, John, about the status of all the players that the Mets traded this past season?
I'm afraid to even.
Well, it really, if you look at it just from a statistical standpoint, there's really only one person that's flourished, and that's Jay Bruce. I think he's got like 5 home runs. He's got an OPS well over 1,000. I think he's done tremendous in Cleveland. Again, maybe it's being in that Ohio water is doing something to him. You know, all those years in Cincinnati
right.
and going to, you know, obviously here and then going to Cleveland, and he's doing well. I mean, obviously, you know, it's very possible we might see a Jay Bruce, Curtis Granderson World Series.
Yep, could
you
be.
Would be a nice story. Speaking of Long Island stories, just have to mention this. The Mets this week are playing in Cincinnati, taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Cincinnati has a young starter pitching for them tomorrow. Young kid, 23 years old. His name is Sal Romano. He is currently from Tarrington, Connecticut, I believe. But I know when my godson was 8 and 9 years old playing in the Levittown West Little League, one of his teammates was a kid by the name of Sal Romano.
Ah.
Grew up in Levittown. I went to high school with his dad, Sal Sr. They moved to Connecticut when he was 10 and, has made it, you know, was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds about, I think, 4 years ago, 10th round pick. Worked his way up and is, pitching for the Cincinnati Reds. He's finally made the team. I think he's had one or two starts at the end of last year. Made the team late April and has made it. You know, obviously they're struggling at the bottom of the, NL Central at this point, but he's pitching against the Mets tomorrow. I don't remember whether he was a Met fan or a Yankee fan growing up. I have a feeling he was a Yankee fan, I think, but, but to pitch against the team, the team that you grew up in, it's gotta be a thrill. I mean, real tiny kid. First of all, his nickname on the back of his jersey is Sally. Obviously his name's Sal, but you're going to put Sally on the back of your jersey, and I think you can get away with it when you're 6'5", 270 pounds.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to...
He's not going to mess around with the kid.
It's you like know, that and, old and Johnny his, Cash song, A Boy Named Boy, Sue.
Right, exactly. He's a, I mean, he's a big... Sal is a big... Sal's dad is a big guy, too. Not as big as his son, but he was a big guy, too. So, you know, obviously the genetics ran well in the family, but... Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to watching it tonight, because it's nice to, you know, have a connection with somebody that you really know that actually made it. You know, obviously, you know, not having any friends that have, you know, either played pro ball or know somebody, you know, when you know somebody that's actually been in the game.
All right.
I think it's a great story, and it's something to, you know, as a Met fan, you'll watch and see, you know, hopefully they mention it on the broadcast. I would surely think they know that that there's a Long Island connection. Yeah, and the Mets and Mets and Reds will be battling this week. Both teams 15 and 21 games below 500 respectively. So definitely no wild card battle.
No.
And, you know, it's just amazing. Just looking at the standings and looking, you know, the San Francisco Giants, as good as they've been over the past few years, winning, you know, 3 World Series in this decade, are 52-80.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, them and the Phillies are the only two teams that are right now guaranteed a losing season by their numbers.
Well, hey, look at the Phillies, though. That kid they brought up, he's got 11 home runs in 17 games.
Something like that, Hoskins. Yeah. It's major league record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know my friend Alan in Philly's listening, and maybe you can give us a scouting report since you watch your Phillies and that. Oh, and by the way, since I know my friend in Philly is listening, congratulations to the Philadelphia Soul for winning the Arena Bowl for the second consecutive year. I believe they beat the Tampa Bay Storm, as a matter of fact. I don't know if Mr. Bon Jovi is still part of that organization. Alan, if you're listening, give us a call, 631-888-8811. And by the way, if you do want to call and talk to us tonight, you know, that number is available. We are going to have Brad Kurtzberg, who was on our show last month, calling in to give us more of a sports take. By the way, we're going to promote something now for John and Art, my next show on Sunday, September 17th. We are on for 2 hours that night, and we are going to be doing a massive NHL preview show where we're going to have some of our friends and fans from all across the country calling to give us scouting reports on their individual teams for the upcoming season. I can tell you right now, we're going to have people calling in from Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Florida, Dallas, St. Louis, L.A., San Jose.
Wasn't it Montreal?
Montreal, Toronto, and a few other people going to call, obviously, Rangers, Islanders, Devils. So we're going to have a great show where, you know, people are going to call in and discuss this. So we're really going to promote this show big time. We're not going to obviously take any calls that night. We're only going to take the people that are going to be talking about their teams, but it should be a lot of fun. So if you people that are, you know, got your fantasy pools, you know, we're going to make sure there's questions asked, you know, maybe on who, you know, who would be your sleeper pick for your hockey fantasy team. And obviously, you know, John and I and many people that listen to our show are into that fantasy business. So, it's going to be a great show to check out on September 17th. So, you know, we have to shamelessly plug every chance we get, you know.
Why not?
But, so football season starts. All right, John. Big question of the night. This is the most important one that we're going to give you right now. Will the New York Jets win 2 games this season?
2 might be pushing it. I think they should win at least 1. I mean, the odds, you can't go 0-18 at least. I hope not, but 2 might be pushing it a little bit. I mean, 0-16, I'm sorry.
Obviously, they played the Giants. I didn't see the game, obviously, but, you know, just listening, I heard that Christian Hackenberg, who everybody was seeing was going to be a big star, threw 2 pick sixes. Bryce Petty got hurt. I think he's got a grade 1 ligament strain or something like that, but he said he will be able to play next Sunday. Josh McCown, I don't know how he did, but, you know, obviously you got 3 quarterbacks that are hurt. Somewhat hurt and unsure. So that gives you a lot of confidence going into the beginning of the season, don't you think?
It's going to be a long season. I don't, you know.
You know, I mean, obviously, Miami's got a, you know, would have been up there for a possibility, but Tannehill's out for the year. So that's another big loss.
You don't think that's going to they're still going to do thrive now?
What, the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins are a decent team. I mean, yes, you lose your starting quarterback, your star player. Obviously, it's going to be a major hit. I forget who's in, but they got a capable backup in there.
Yeah, they signed,
I forget who they signed.
Yeah, from Chicago.
Right.
Cutler.
They do got Cutler. They got somebody else there. They got at least a decent team.
I think
got a good running game.
Right.
They'll do all right. You know, but they were a team that could have gave New England a chance.
Right.
Obviously, of course, the big news out of New England is Edelman's out for the year.
Yeah.
They'll sign somebody and he'll have a career year, 95 catches, 1,200 yards.
Right, exactly.
10 touchdowns. It doesn't matter. Whoever Bill Belichick brings into the system, they sprinkle fairy dust on their head and they turn into NFL Pro Bowlers.
Right, right.
I will predict now that Tom Brady will be in the Pro Bowl in the 2030 season when he's 53 years old.
He'll just keep playing.
I mean, love him or hate him, Jet fans, we hate him. But, love him or not, the man is a testament. He does, injuries, changes, all stuff happens, and it doesn't matter. He performs He performs at a great level, and there's no denying it. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, hot wife, got the life, Mark Wahlberg's character in Ted 2 wanted to be him, But, will that deflate their team? Will they not win 12 games? No. They're going to win 12 games. At least 12 games.
At least, yeah.
So there's nothing going to stop them at all.
Like I said, they'll find somebody else who was a cast off from another team. I wish I could think of the guy's name who they got from Buffalo last year and that just had an amazing playoff run in particular. So they'll do the same thing. They'll find somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just looking.
Chris, I can't think of his last name. If anybody knows, please call in.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna be thinking about this all night now.
I'm just thinking. I'm just looking, and I see Houston. And again, obviously, everybody's thoughts and prayers are with the people.
Yeah, please.
In Southeast Texas,
definitely.
It's unbelievable, and just looking at that storm now and how bad it's going to be.
And they're saying it's lingering.
It's going to sit in Texas for at least the next 3 days.
That's just terrible.
Places already are up in the 20 to 25 inch amount of rain, and it's not going to stop. Obviously, the Mets are supposed to play there this weekend, and there was obviously the talk is, what are they going to do? Obviously the building is indoors. We know that, but
getting
it around. I think the last big storm that they had where they had to move, they played in Chicago or played, they were supposed to play the Cubs. I think they ended up playing in Milwaukee. And because it was in Milwaukee, it was such an unfair advantage. All the Cub fans went, the 90 miles north of Milwaukee, and the Cub pitcher threw a no-hitter up there against them. And where the Astros were supposed to be the home team. This is when Houston was terrible. But I think what they were saying, and I think it makes a point, if the Mets have to play Houston in an alternate, they should actually play it somewhere. Maybe if the Rangers are on the road or something like that, maybe they play in Dallas and play there, or play, somewhere closer to Texas, to give them the advantage. Everybody said, "Oh, play in New York." No, that's not fair.
That's not that
the Mets would do any better at home.
It's true. It doesn't really matter. They can play on the moon.
Exactly.
It won't make
much of a difference at all. But the point is, you obviously got a feel for, that at least Houston's on the road at this point. And like we said, Rice University from Houston, played in Stanford, I believe, yesterday and lost 66-7. So, again, it's a tough thing. And the last thing we'll talk about before we take a break is congratulations to the league team in Lufkin, Texas, which unfortunately is about 120 miles north of Houston, Texas. So they're not in a bad spot, but they're getting obviously 6 to 8 inches of rain there. But they won the U.S. championship a couple of days ago, and unfortunately lost to the team out of Japan 12-2 today in the World Series. The interesting thing, Japan had only given up one run the entire World Series to date till today. The first pitch the Japanese kid throws to Texas, he hits a home run. Two batters later, The third kid up hits a home run. So Texas is up 2-0, two hits in the first inning. They lost 12-2, and they only had two hits.
Oh, boy.
Amazing. I mean, the Japanese team has won. This particular little league based in Tokyo has won four World Series in the last 17 years. And the thing that blew my mind, if you think your kids practicing for 3 hours on a weekend is bad, these Japanese kids practice 11 months a year, and their practices on Saturdays and Sundays go for 11 hours in a day. They field for 5 hours a day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine doing that as 11 and 12 year olds?
Can you imagine trying to do that in this country?
No.
Apparently,
It can't happen.
No.
It can't happen. But anyway, congratulations to Lufkin, Texas on making the League World Series. It's a great honor. The Little League's only been in existence for 7 years and they made it, which is, another testament to the people down there and the effort that they put in and the training for the kids. And again, the kids win no matter what.
That's it.
And you wish the sportsmanship was there. So I think we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, Brad Kurtzberg is going to come on the show and talk with us about the state of sports on Long Island on this August 27th, 2017. John Panarese, Gary Harding with you on Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back after we pay a couple bills.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now back to the show.
And we're back on Sports Talk 1240. And again, just saying, as we were talking off the air, Bryce Petty did actually have a good game yesterday. 15 for 18, 250 yards and 3 touchdown passes. So, Bilal Powell, I think 4 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown. So again, the Jets lost 32-31. Defense scored 3 touchdowns on the Jets, but you know, it is what it is. But, we got our guest on the line, again, a good friend of the show. I can always count on him whenever we need something, and it's Brad Kurtzberg joining us. Brad, I don't know if you listened to the first half hour, but I did ask John a question. I'm going to make a rebuttal on him. As you know, this weekend was the weekend where Major League Baseball relaxed their rules and, you know, have players had nicknames on their jerseys, and the Yankees had names on their jerseys for the first time ever. If you were a player in Major League Baseball right now, I put John on the Mets. I'll put you on the Mets, too. You're a pitcher on the Mets, Brad. You wear a number, let's say 48. I don't know. It's Jacob DeGrom's number. I'll give you 60. What's going to be the nickname on the back of Brad Kurtzberg's jersey?
Wow. There's a question I did not expect to be asked.
Neither was I, Brad.
John said loser. I'm giving him a chance to rebut. So.
No, come on, John. You got to do better than that because that's not true.
Well, I said G-Man for me.
Okay. G-Man is good. G-Man is good. I go with, what would be on the back of my nickname?
Curtsy? No, that sounds like a girl bowing. That won't work.
No.
Okay, if I'm a pitcher, Special K.
Special
All
K.
Right.
There, you go. That's
there
good.
You go.
That's good. Good. All right, John, you got a chance. You want to?
Actually, what they used to call me growing up was just Panna, P-A-N-A.
Okay, because a lot of guys use part of their names or whatever.
Yeah, some.
I think one of the funniest ones I saw was Darnose, Lil D.
Yeah.
Lil T.
Well, but remember, you have to take that, when they make his jersey, they actually take a capital P and just slip, you know, do it upside down to make his, cause it's small D. It's not a capital D for Darno, it's a small D instead of that, so obviously Lil D is a perfect nickname.
Yeah, well, it's like Calvin Gahan. Whenever I'm writing an article and a sentence has to start with that guy's last name, you have to do it twice because it automatically capitalizes.
Right.
Right, yeah, or you have to make sure that your spell check automatically has it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Brad, tough life being a Met fan these days?
No, it's not. I'll tell you why.
Oh, boy.
You have to have the right frame of mind. Look, this season, we've known now for at least 6 to 8 weeks, if not longer, this is not a competitive season. And very few teams could overcome the injuries that the Mets have had. And look, you could blame the organization for the way they handled some of them, but the amount of injuries that this team has sustained over the course of this season, no organization would be competitive.
No.
So here we are. We're in, you know, the end of August. We're almost at Labor Day. I want to watch the kids. I want to see what they can do. I'm glad to see Familia back on the mound. Not that I thought he pitched well, but let him get the rust off. Let him be ready. By the end of September, let him show me that he's back in form, that he'll be ready for next season. Let me see what some of the kids can do. Let's get some of the guys healthy and back in the lineup. Let's just look at the future of this franchise. I don't expect to win every night. I don't even expect to win half of the nights. But I want to enjoy what I see. And there are games that show me signs of hope. And that's what I'm really looking for right now.
Obviously, you like seeing what Rosario has done. He's really stepped in and been very, very comfortable. And I think a lot of the credit, believe it or not, has to go to Reyes, who's been like his brother to him.
His mentor, really.
And I love that because that's the right way to handle it. Reyes is being professional. He's being team oriented. And I think, dare I say, he's being mature. And it's great to see. And I think Reyes understands at this point in his career, he's more or less a role player. And if part of that role is mentoring Rosario and some of the other kids, that might extend his time in the major leagues, whether it's with the Mets or some other organization. He may be able to extend his career if he shows he's a mentor and a good team guy and somebody who can teach the kids the ropes of Major League Baseball.
Exactly. I mean, Dominic Smith has done quite a nice job, too.
Yeah, he's been good, too.
Obviously, right, there is signs of hope, and, I'm kind of used to going to games in September and potentially spending $5 on it, cost me 400% more to park in the building than it would have cost for my ticket for 9 innings.
It's true.
There were a lot of seasons like that not too long ago.
No, exactly. But have you ever, just going now to the other side, and we talked about it earlier, can you imagine, and it was funny, Gary Thorne and Keith Hernandez were talking, and Gary Thorne said to Keith, I would have loved for you to have been at Yankee Stadium to be analyzing the fact that the Seattle Mariners had 5 errors in 1 inning.
Unbelievable.
Did you happen to catch any of it?
I didn't see it. I did hear about it, and good Lord.
Yeah.
In the major leagues, 5 errors in 1 inning.
It's been 40 years since it happened last.
Yeah, the Cubs, they said.
The Cubs in 77, yeah.
77, and there were some pretty decent fielders on that team, but, boy, not a great team, 77
no.
Cubs.
And, you're talking about a team in the Mariners that's, even though they lost, they're only a game and a half out of the wild card, so, that's tough. That must have been tough to watch. I know they said Ron Darling was actually doing that game for TBS. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think half the American League is only like 3 games out of the wild card.
There's nine teams that are either in the wild card or within 3 games.
There you go.
So obviously
more than half.
Yeah, more than half. There's only three teams out, and we looked. There's only two teams that are that have guaranteed themselves a under 500 season, and I can't believe one of them is the San Francisco Giants.
Well, I mean, they've guaranteed themselves a very much less than 500 season. What are they, 30 games under right now?
They have 80 losses. They have 80 losses, and Philadelphia has 81.
Yeah.
But then again, we were just talking, obviously, the Phils bring up that kid Hoskins and sets a major league record for the fastest to 10 home runs.
Yeah.
He was also, according to my friend in Philly, said he was also involved in a triple play. I think he was also involved in a triple play today, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what August and September baseball is for teams that are 30 games under 500.
Yeah, bringing
I mean,
up yep. the kids and seeing
what
you got.
That's what it's all about, and as a Met fan, I'm certainly no stranger to that over the years, going back to the late 70s, early 80s, and then again in the late 90s, or mid-90s, and then into the 2000s. Late 2000s until the team started to bounce back.
It seems like every decade we're doing this.
I have a question, though, Brett, about the kids. And I read an article about it, and it was kind of interesting. What are your thoughts? Why aren't the Mets really giving Gavin Cecchini a chance to really, get playing time in? They're obviously showcasing Dominic Smith and Rosario, but, this kid was drafted higher than the rookie on L.A., Corey
Bellinger.
Right.
So what is it about this kid that the Mets are not really letting him get his swings in?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors. Number one, it's still crowded there. You have a lot of infielders who need to get, at-bats, and they have to sort of spread the wealth around. I mean, Flores hasn't played all the time. You have Rosario. You have Smith. You still have Cabrera out there. You still have Reyes out there. There are players who need to stay sharp and get some at-bats. And, look, maybe they're just trying to bring the kid along slowly at this point. I think they're trying to give him a little taste, but I think maybe he's not quite as ready for prime time right now as Rosario and Smith, who have been the sort of talk of the Mets organization since May when the season started to really go south. And, let him get a taste. Let's see what he could do. Maybe build up his confidence. And I get the feeling the last two, maybe 3 weeks of the season, he'll be seeing a lot more at bat.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have the 40-man call-up on Friday anyway. So there's most and obviously Las Vegas is not in any playoff implications. So because they're all up here. So, that's obviously, a big, huge problem. Next topic we'll talk about, John and I were talking about this a little bit in the first half hour, is obviously the situation in Houston. Obviously, we're all praying that everybody is safe down there.
Yeah.
They have announced, because I think in the beginning of the week, Houston, the Astros are playing we're supposed to play the Rangers in Houston. And so I believe they have been diverted to Dallas. I think the games are being played up there. So obviously the Mets play there this weekend.
Maybe.
Well, they're scheduled to play the Astros. Let's put it that way. But
right.
It brought back the story of the last time that the Astros had weather issues and they had to move out of the area to play, and they were playing. They were supposed to play the Cubs in Houston. They moved the games up to Milwaukee, and it turned out that the Cubs pitcher, with all the fans only 90 miles away, flocked up there to see their Cubs, the visiting team, threw a no hitter against the Astros. So obviously. Obviously, the they can't bring them to New York anyway, because I think the Astros on the Monday, on Labor Day, have an afternoon game in Seattle.
So
obviously,
yeah,
you couldn't do that and send them all the way out to New York and then send them all the way across the country for a 1 o'clock, a 4 o'clock afternoon game.
And you also have the U.S. Open in Flushing, which would complicate that as well.
Right. Yep.
Well, no, the Mets are playing they're there that weekend. I think they're playing the first couple of days.
Yeah. But to schedule it last minute would be a little more complicated.
Oh, yeah, obviously. So, I mean, that's a tough situation. Obviously, I believe the Texans were away. Rice University, we were talking about, they're the big university in Houston, were away.
Yep.
They lost, 66-7, I think, to Stanford or something like that.
Wow.
They lose that way every week.
I was about to say, that's a mismatch, but yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously that's a big shame, And obviously, with the Astros having such a great season, and you need some – could this be, having this you know, the flooding and all the damage that's being done, could that be a turning point for a special season? Yeah, you know, obviously, they're going to be the ones in the American League. They're going to be challenging Cleveland, and obviously, the two top, and Cleveland doing so well with the addition of Mr. Bruce. I think he's got 5 home runs for the Indians already.
Yeah,
must be that good. Must be that Ohio water, I'll tell you.
Looking good out there. For Mr. Bruce, but we knew that Bruce has been very consistent this season.
Yeah, all season. He's...
And I mean, as bad as he was last August and September for the Mets, that's how good he's been this year. So good for Jay Bruce. Good.
He's on a contract year too.
Of course, almost everybody does well on a contract year. So
So obviously it could be. We were talking. It could be Jay Bruce against Curtis Granderson in the World Series.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. As far as the Astros go, you know, this is one of those things that could be a huge distraction for them, or it could be a rallying point where, hey, we're all facing the same adversity, we have to stick together, they bond together, it's them against the world, so to speak, and they come out and unified and intense and it makes them play better on the field. Maybe they play a little bit more inspired. I think the leadership in that locker room is going to be tested, and it's going to be interesting to see whether it affects them at all.
But the big question is, can anyone stop the boys from Chavez Ravine?
The injury bug, maybe, but, I mean, and they've been doing this without Kershaw now.
Kershaw's coming back next week.
Friday, yeah, he's due to start Friday. Yep. I mean, yeah. Can anybody stop the Dodgers? I think the only team that's going to really stop the Dodgers is the Dodgers. The cliche is, in a short series, anything can happen, and that's true. But with the pitching that the Dodgers have, it'd be tough for me to see them losing 4 times.
Yeah, we talked about the former Long Island Duck that got down on himself after saying he lost the game after he goes 9 innings and no hit.
Yeah.
And gives up the one home run. I mean, that was... Oh. But what a deal. You know, you go from 4 years ago making $3,000 a month as the Long Island Duck to making $13 million a year for the L.A. Dodgers.
Well, you know, that's
why... I want that record.
Yeah, please.
Tell me about it. Well, that's why it's good that he didn't quit. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Well, what an effort. And you know, now... There was a time when that would have been considered officially a no-hitter because he went the full 9 innings without giving up a run, and then... I forget how many years ago they actually sort of changed the ruling, but to go 9 innings and it's 0-0, that's a real shame.
Were we alive? I'm not sure. I'm thinking of the Harvey Haddix game.
Yeah.
No, we weren't alive. It was the 50s.
Yep.
That's right. Do a perfect game for, 13 innings?
Yeah.
And gave up the home. Was it Henry Aaron that hit the home run to win the game?
I'm not sure, but yeah, I've heard about the game. And
yeah.
Imagine that, losing it in the third. Holy cow.
13 innings is 3 starts nowadays for a pitcher.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, that's when they didn't have pitch counts.
The great part
about
Rich Hill's game, I mean, he went 9 innings. He only threw 92 pitches.
Yeah, he was economical. He was on top of it. I mean, I love watching dominant pitching. I mean, maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe it's because I grew up watching baseball in the 70s when
the Carltons and the Seavers and all that.
The Carltons and the Seavers, and then later, you know, to go to the 80s with Gooden in his magic 85 season. But I love watching dominant pitching because I just remember, you know, watching Dwight Gooden in 84, 85, early 86. Your team takes a 1-0 lead in the second inning and you're like, game over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you just sit back and watch the show because he just, you know,
When you had under 2 ERAs leading the major leagues, and, you know, these guys would strike out 250, 270 guys this season.
Oh, man. Or to me, still the most amazing single season as a pitcher that I can think of, Steve Carlton, 1972. And I'm not a big fan of Carlton off the field, but my God. What is it, his team
last
won
50, team.
57 games, and he won 24 of them?
Yes.
I think those are the numbers, but I might be off by a
I thought he was like 27.
Yeah, it was like, how good do you have to be to pull down those kind of numbers?
Right.
I mean. And, of course, then you go back and you look at 1968.
Right.
Mickey Lolich with 31 wins.
Right.
Bob Gibson with the 1.12.
Yeah, you're never going to see that in the
No,
major
that's
leagues.
Why they that's why they moved the mound back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they lowered the mound but even so, yeah, that was the year of the pitcher by far, 1968, and then of course the next year you not only lowered the mound, you had expansion as well, so that changed the equation a little bit also. But
John, let's see how smart the expert is.
Ooh.
Did you watch the Met game today?
I watched parts of it, yes.
Okay, maybe did you see the trivia question?
No, I don't believe I did.
Okay, good. Okay, speaking of expansion.
Okay.
The trivia question, since it's obviously, they were the Montreal Expos.
Yes.
Who was the first pick in the expansion draft for the Montreal Expos? I will give you a hint.
Go ahead.
He spent most of his career as an L.A. Dodger.
Ron Fairley.
No.
No. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I think his name was used in a famous movie with Leslie Nielsen. The baseball. I think Sorry, it was Airplane.
An Airplane. Okay, Airplane. I was going to say Nordberg, but that's not right.
No, it was an Airplane.
An Airplane.
Now pinch hitting, Manny Mota.
Manny Mota. There you go.
Oh yeah.
He was the first. Yeah, he was. Yeah, and because of that. I think it was because he was moved in a deal or something along those lines to Pittsburgh for Don Clendenin, and
wow.
Don Clendenin did not want to go to play for Montreal, and he refused to report. And of course, what happened to Don Clendenin later that season?
Mets.
Was traded to the Mets and was the World Series MVP.
There you go.
And of course, the first game the Montreal Expos played
against the Mets, and the Expos won it
11-10.
There you go.
Pitching duel.
Pitching duel, exactly. Yeah, well, Seaver lost that day. Well,
It wasn't his best
effort. Wasn't his
effort.
Best effort. Yeah.
No.
But we saved.
But that was at Park Jerry?
No, it was at Shea.
Oh, was it Shea?
It
wow.
was at Shea. I don't think Jerry Park was ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
I think they waited. No, I think they were. Put him on the road, I think, for like the first 10 days.
Oh, wow.
They did that just in case.
Right.
I don't
right,
think
right.
the swimming pool in right field was completed yet. So we didn't talk about any in the first half, but we might as well get into hockey.
Okay.
Let's
getting close to training camp.
Training camp starts what, around the 10th or so, right?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah, and 17th, that preseason game at the NYCB Live at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. God, it takes me 10 seconds just to say the damn arena.
I'll put Brad on the spot. You think the Islanders are going to trade for a second line center before trading camp or before the opening night?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Okay, obviously the Duchesne, talk is heated up, and John's not for it or anything, but I gave the question. You put a gun to your head, who would you take right now? Matt Duchesne or Brock Nelson? And the people on Facebook boards drive me nuts. It's like, you take Duchesne over him?
See, you're not comparing apples to apples.
Apples, right, yeah, I get it.
You have to take the salary cap into consideration. Value-wise, having Brock Nelson there allows me to do other things with the money that could help my team. So it kind of becomes...
But I'm not even looking at the dollar sign.
Okay.
I'm looking at it strictly on the players at this point.
The problem for me is that the difference quality-wise between those two players is not that great, and the difference monetarily between them is.
Yeah,
I mean, Duchesne is really not... That was the thing that surprised me, is I thought he was a lot better statistically than he actually is.
Right.
For some reason, I had this idea that he was really towards the more elite players statistically.
He's
and
not
I've been
a dominant
looking at his
player.
No, he's not. No. And I don't see why Sakic is looking for a first round pick, a second round pick, a second line player. How do you ask that of a guy who's really not an elite player?
You ask it because you don't expect to get it, but you'd like to get something as close to that as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I know you want something in return. You don't want to give nothing, give something for nothing. But
right.
but I think he's pricing himself out of a deal, and he's going to end up in the end. He's going to end up just giving him away because he's not going to play.
He's looking for Jaguar money when he's really only going to get a Volkswagen.
Right. Right.
Yeah. No question. But and that's why he hasn't been moved yet. If he really wanted to move Duchesne, he would have been able to trade him twice or three times by now. There have been plenty of people who were interested, but not at the price that they've been asking. And I think that comes down to the fact that they kind of want to keep him. And it's one of those situations where, hey, if you want this player, bowl me over. Impress me. Knock me off my feet with an offer.
And I give Snow credit for holding his ground and not giving up the farm to get him.
But of course, absolutely. Of course, everybody on the board.
Yeah, of course, all the boards are screaming about it. But I, you know, like I said, I looked at his statistics and I'm like, why are you guys going nuts over him for?
And he's it's not that he's not played with bad players. McKinnon, Landeskog, he's got talented guys on either side of him.
And what's not to say that Brock Nelson's not eventually going to hit 30 goals and be a 60-point guy?
He may or he may not, as far as Nelson is concerned. I don't know if Nelson's really got 30 goals and 60 points in him, but I think he's got 25 goals and 50 points in him for sure.
Yeah, which is...
And it depends on what role you play. Look, here's the thing to me. When I look at the NHL now, the most important thing for a GM to do is to get value. And it's something that I've criticized Garth Snow for before based on some of the contracts he's handed out to his bottom six forwards and some of the defensemen. I have no objection to keeping, you know, some of those bottom six forwards around. They're good players. They're good in the locker room. They're leaders. They have intangibles. But you can't get, you know, when you're only getting five goals and eight assists from that player,
and you're giving him $3.5 million,
$3.5 million a year for a fourth line guy. It's all about value, and realistically, to me, the amount of money you've got to pay Matt Duchene for the production that you get for him is not necessarily good value. If I'm going to pay a player Matt Duchene money, I want more production than I'm going to get from Matt Duchene.
Right. Right. Agreed.
And that's the big, you know, the big thing. Obviously, we got now 31 teams in the NHL. So we talked a little bit about it the last time you were on, but what are your thoughts on the Vegas lineup at this point? I mean, obviously, this is the first time that you really had, I guess, a solid draft from, you know, a team, you know,
expansion teams
in the past weren't as, you know, they didn't have to have as much stringent, you know, hold back. So they've actually been able to get, I think, a lot more of a quality team. Not a team that's going to obviously make the playoffs year one, but at least you get a team that I think is going to be a competitive team.
Yeah, they're not going to be blown out of the building night after night. There's no question. They're going to be in a lot of games, and having a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury certainly guarantees that they will be in some games they probably don't deserve to be, you know, close in. And I think the big advantage that they had that a lot of people overlook, I can't remember the last time one team came into the league in a given expansion year.
No, it's always been pairs.
It's always been pairs.
It's usually pairs. I think maybe with San Jose, a one-in that year, and Ottawa, they may have been one-ins, but San Jose was sort of a weird deal with the Stars and everything else, the way they entered the league. So I think having only the one expansion team, it instead of having their options cut in half where they pick a player and then another team picks a player, they had their pick of every team's roster and the ability to wheel and deal with all of the other 30 teams to get the players they wanted. And I think that makes a huge difference for a franchise that's just starting out.
And again, they seem to have got the, you know, enough of a base. They're reaching out, which is, I think, great. Which could help the Raiders in 2 years when they decide to join forces.
Absolutely.
So did it look, I don't know, I mean, I caught a little bit of it last night when I got home. Did it look real weird seeing on the screen LAC against LAR? You know, it was funny. I was in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, and they actually, in a bar right outside of Petco Park, they actually had the L.A. Chargers game on one of the TVs. I'm like, seriously?
Wow.
I was like, I didn't think they would break televisions with that.
Sacrilege?
And the fact that they're playing games for the next 2 years in a soccer stadium that seats 25,000 people.
Yeah.
And they're promoting, you can get tickets there for like $10. For the Chargers. I mean, good luck to them.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, I know.
But they're building, what, a $1.5 billion right next to the fabulous Forum where Hollywood Park racetrack used to be, and they're Obviously, it's not till like, what, 2020, I believe, but...
Beautiful downtown Inglewood, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, listen, Brad, we're going to let you go because we got to get off in a couple of minutes, but we appreciate you always. Let me give you a couple seconds, let you give a free plug.
Free plug. I'll be covering the Islanders again at InsideHockey.com, so always looking forward to another season of covering the Isles, and always a pleasure to be with you guys. I thank you for that, and looking forward to joining you again soon.
You bet. Well, hopefully we'll see you at the Collie on the 17th.
I will be there.
All right. Sounds great, man. Listen, Brad, thank you again for coming on.
Right,
maybe we'll talk to you for the NHL preview show on the 17th.
Hope so. Love
all right.
Guys. Take
all right. So long. All right, Brad Kurzberg from Inside Hockey joining us. Great guest, as always. Good friend of the show. So we got a couple minutes. John, goes quick. But remember, I know you're going to Hawaii in a couple of weeks. You got to come back.
Yeah, the day I come back, actually, we will be doing our 2 hours.
Our 2 hour show. So you're going to have to get your homework done while you're while you're sipping Mai Tais and pina coladas on the beach.
I'll probably be doing that Sunday afternoon.
As soon as you get,
get off
right?
the plane.
As soon as you get off the plane, get that lay on your head and
that's it.
Get the Mai Tais going. Well, listen, it should be fun. Again, we're looking forward to doing all sorts of stuff with the previews of the NHL.
I think that's going to be an interesting show.
I'm going to be, obviously, as I told you, once November hits, I'll be starting to do the Long Island Nets. So we're going to be probably getting some Nets people on the show. You know, it'll be interesting doing, you know, following basketball, which I haven't followed in, like, decades. But, again, should be a lot of fun. I'm just going to check real quick on the Met score at this point and see what they are doing.
Yeah, I have my alerts turned off. So.
Yeah, middle of the third, no score. So Zach Lugo came back off the DL and hasn't given up runs. So that's a good sign. Obviously, Boston lost, so that helps the Yankees. So again, it's going to be a great couple of weeks
in
the
fun
American
in the
League.
American League coming down to the stretch.
Can the Yankees overtake the Red Sox? You know, will they?
Kids fold under pressure? Who knows, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Judge obviously has slumped big time since the All-Star game, and Stanton just said, oh, I'm going to pass by you at home run number 50 today.
Yeah.
And I know there was also a minor league player in the Milwaukee system that suffered a cardiac arrest after being hit by a pitch this afternoon. So our thoughts go with that. But, John, great show as always.
Thank you.
Yeah,
of course.
So, Mr. Sweeney will be back with us again. Again, keeping track. September 17th, NHL preview, 2 hour show. We're going to have reporters calling in from all across the NHL, across the U.S. and Canada, talking about their favorite teams so you can have your fantasy teams ready to go. Yeah, just by the thing. Again, Julio Mendez of the Milwaukee Brewers playing in the Arizona League. Again, our thoughts and prayers are with him. The second hour of Sports Talk 1240 is coming up in the next couple of minutes. John, again, thank you very much. Brian Gray is behind the glass. Thank you again, as always. Gary Harding here. In the words of my friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. Good night from Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.